Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Matt and Dwight Just Might, a podcast about two Midwest-based comedians that are just super relaxed and chill and back from vacation and just like, you know, like really even wondering why they do this to begin with. Because life's so good. Life's so good when you're not chasing that, when you're staying off social media. You're not feeling like you're not doing enough. You're not promoting enough when you're not going up at an open mic and eating a big old bag of dicks, as they say in the industry.
I didn't eat a single bag of dicks while I was in Mexico. It was great.
Really? Okay.
It was mostly tacos and chilaquiles.
Okay.
No dicks though, and it was great.
Yeah.
You
same
are
thing.
Smiling from ear to ear, and I love to see it. I love that for you.
Yeah. I did have some sausages in England that may have been dicks. About that. It may have been bull penis or something like that, but it was delicious. They fried it up nice. But yes, we are back after a 2-week hiatus. I was on vacation and then you were on vacation. If you are new to the podcast, there's usually not this much dick talk. There's a little bit of dick talk, but not this much. Generally not this early in the episode.
Save it for the last 15 minutes.
But this is a podcast about two Midwest-based comedians that are trying to figure it out as they make their way through life and comedy and everything in between. I am Matt Alana Martin, and with me is Dwight. You are freshly back. I had my vacation first, and then you went. We kind of high-fived in the air.
Yeah, it was cool.
And so how was it? How was Mexico City? Was it dope?
Well, you go first. You vacate.
I don't even remember. That's the thing. It's 2 weeks ago.
I got to pull the last up some little details.
Last little remnants of it.
Yeah.
I had a lovely time. My wife and I went to England for my buddy JD and his lovely, lovely now civil partner, Daisy's civil partnership. Here's the thing that I didn't know. I was asked to be a witness, right? And in America, when you do that, that just means at the end, you just stand there and you sign the paperwork like with whoever like makes it official, you also sign. Well, in England, when you're doing the civil partnership, the witness is part of the ceremony.
Oh.
And I would have dressed up a little nicer, to be honest.
Your jean shorts and a tank top?
Yeah, well, I wanted them to make sure that they knew that I was from America, you know. American by birth, Indiana by the grace of God, you know. And so
you wouldn't have worn your Dale Earnhardt Jr. T-shirt.
Yeah. No, I mean, I dressed okay, but JD was even like, oh, it's super casual. Daisy's wearing like sneakers. I'm wearing like a suit jacket, but I'm not wearing like a button-up shirt under it. I'm just wearing, you know. I looked fine. But there was another witness. There were two of us, and he definitely was a lot more dapper looking than I was.
Yeah, he came to witness. That is funny.
Yeah.
How many people did they have stand up, like, as part of the wedding party?
That's it. There wasn't a wedding party. And we weren't up there the whole time, but we had to go up as part of the ceremony. And it was done in a register's office by this delightful woman. This woman, I joked around about it with Daisy and JD afterwards. Like, it was just a shame they couldn't find anyone more British to marry them, because this woman was probably in her mid to late 50s. And it just looked like she had stepped out of casting for like being like the proper British marm. Like, she even had to shush people before everything got started. People were getting a little chatty or whatever. Yeah. And she shushed everybody. And then we're all listening to like, okay, this is how this is going to work. And then a couple of people started whispering again and she shushed them again. I mean, it really was.
That's awesome.
Delightful. And of course her accent was perfect. So it's basically just that lady and then the two people getting hitched. And then the witnesses, we had to come up at one point and then sign the paperwork in front of everybody, which was weird.
Had to witness you witnessing.
They had to witness. The witnesses had to be witnessed. You know, like we often ask who watches the Watchmen, but we don't ask who witnesses the witnesses, you know. But it was great, and it was a really fun hang and everything with them. And then we also just, you know, we saw some sights and just chilled, and it was good, man. We had a good little vacay, good little break.
Nice, man. So when you guys go to a different country, you like to just explore, or do you have things that are planned out?
We have honed it down to, I don't want to say it's a science, but it's what works for us. Is essentially, we kind of pick one thing to do in the morning and one thing to do in the afternoon if it's a free day, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we'll, and sometimes that stuff will get booked far in advance. Like, we went and saw a Broadway show, not Broadway, but you know, that it was on the West End, their version of Broadway. We were staying in the West End. So we're like, we should go see a show. We should just go drop the money and go see a big ass show. So we had bought those tickets already. And that was Moulin Rouge, the musical, right? Based on the movie, the Baz Luhrmann. And Denise loves that movie and everything. And it was great. It was super fun. They updated the music, you know, to modern songs and stuff, but it's still the same thing. But everything else we kind of did on the fly or a day or two in advance. We'd be right. Like, all right, you want to go to the Tate Modern? Okay, we'll do that. That'll be our morning thing we do this day and stuff like that. And then we don't overschedule it. We just kind of keep it chill.
I love it. I like that.
And then we do some exploring. Yeah. So what about you? Do you have like an itinerary and everything when you go?
Megan would plan out everything. I've always traveled. Like, I don't like having tours to go to, like we have to be at a place at like a certain time, it just ruins my experience, which it's not true. I just hate structure when I'm on vacation.
Yeah.
It's like I always have fun on the tours and stuff, but yeah, I'm a bad planner, so if I'm in charge of the vacation, then nothing gets planned. We are wandering around a city getting lost and stopping in on shit that we think it's cool. So this was a little bit of a mix. We flew out. This was something that we didn't check, but we flew out on eclipse day. During the eclipse.
Did you see the eclipse from the airplane?
So we got a pilot came over over the speaker and was like, hey, just so you know, it's gonna get a little dark. We are flying in the path of the eclipse. We're going to Mexico. And he's like, please don't open your shades all the way. It's fine to peek out, but don't. Gave like the funniest safety announcement.
Like don't look directly at the sun, essentially.
Look directly. You'll notice if it gets darker. Please don't look directly out of your window unless you have proper glasses.
It's not like you're flying parallel with the sun. I mean, it's like you still would not be able to see up at the sun, would you, from an airplane, unless the airplane got like skylights or something?
No, it's not like we would be staring directly at the sun.
Yeah,
it's like it'd be like don't go searching for this,
right?
Yeah. So I didn't notice, like, it got a little bit darker, and when we landed and taxied, we were in the airport, we could notice it was getting darker, but we never got full coverage in Mexico City. So
yeah,
missed the eclipse.
That's all right. It's fine. Yeah.
I saw some pictures. It looked very cool.
It is very cool. And this is the second one that I've seen. I was in Tennessee for the totality then. And we came back early because Daisy and JD actually had two ceremonies. They had a smaller private one on Wednesday. And then they had like kind of a big, they're both musicians. And so Saturday, they basically just had like their version of like Chappelle's Block Party. They just had all of their musicians come, and they like rented like this little park essentially, and they just had like a jam, like people just got up and played Prince songs and did whatever, and that was like the big celebration, which I would have loved to have been at, but Denise was really adamant about being back in time for this eclipse because she had never seen one, right? You know? So we flew back early and saw it, and it is cool. It's cool. It's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. But don't try to talk me out of it being cool, man.
No, but I mean, but the reason I bring this up is because then, you know, there were people that talking about, I mean, you know, our friend Shay, I was talking to her at the Comedy Attic on Thursday, and we were talking about it, and she's talking about, she just started crying. She's like, I just started weeping during it. And this was just like example, you know, 503 of how I'm dead inside, because because I'm with my family at my mother-in-law's. We made a day of it. We're grilling out. We're hanging out. Right. It was beautiful weather. And Shay, you know, not with us, at her own private viewing, whatever she was at, she starts crying at the beauty of the universe. And my reaction was like, I could have another burger. I could hit the grill again one more time, you know?
Brought out that wolf-like hunger.
Yeah, now you're
going to start nocturnal, roasting the moon.
Yeah. But I mean, but anyway, so it is cool. But some people have a much stronger reaction to the eclipse than I did. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah. It was like I had FOMO for like 10 seconds.
Right.
Yeah. It wasn't like
until that first margarita hit your hand, like on the beach. And you're like, you know what?
That's so funny.
Why would you ever want the sun to go away? Look at this. This is beautiful.
Get my tan on. Yeah, we were in Mexico City, which is a huge, it's a huge city. No beaches. So
Right.
it's all city time, which is awesome. Went to a couple museums that were freaking dope. Went to the Museum of Anthropology, which I've always wanted to go to, and just spent a, it's like we had to take a break. We had to leave the museum halfway through and then come back. It's so massive. There's so much
Yeah.
information. But it was dope, man. It was cool to just turn off social media for a little bit and just reconnect in a very culturally densely populated city, just watching people.
Yeah.
It was cool, man. It was cool. I feel fucking great about it. Only got
Well,
our
right on.
life threatened twice.
Okay, that's good.
You know,
Yeah.
people are like, you're going to Mexico City, it's be safe, it's so dangerous, and it's like everyone's so hospitable. It'd be
Yeah.
like when you go to like New York or a place with a lot of people, you're going to get heckled. You're going to sit down and people are going to ask you for money. Like
Right.
there are, you know, tent villages, and there are, we sat at a coffee shop, had some breakfast, and this guy came up and he asked us for some pesos, and we were like, we had just sat down, so we were going to give him some, and then he just snapped. And Megan's fluent in Spanish, so I
Yeah.
could pick up like bandejo. I was like, oh, I got that one. But he was just letting us have it, and
Yeah.
Megan's face is horrified, horrified. And the staff, like two staff members, just came and made a little barrier, like no big deal, nothing to
Yeah.
see here.
They're used to that, yeah.
Yeah, and then the guy looks at Megan and goes, bang, bang. I was like, I know what that one means.
Wow.
Over our fucking egg sandwiches, dude. Yeah.
Comedy Bang Bang, Scott Aukerman's.
I know,
Is that
bang, bang. He's like,
what?
I haven't been on that one. No.
Yeah. Or
And
yeah, that's well, okay, yeah, that sucks.
yeah, it sucks. But the staff was like, what is, I mean, you're
You're like, he's too poor to have a gun. Don't worry, he'll most likely he'll stab you.
here. That was my,
Most likely he'll stab you. It's fine.
I was like, if he had a gun, he would have used it already. It was
Right,
the only
exactly.
thing I could have said. Like, it just took a minute to get over, but
Yeah.
very nice people in Mexico
So,
City.
what's the second time you had your th life threatened? You said there were only two times. So, what was the other one?
Another houseless individual called me a cuck.
Okay.
He goes,
See, some things are
he
international.
goes,
Some things aren't.
he goes, fuck you, cuck. It was like the first day we were there eating outside, and he's like hungry, and like he appeared out of a puff of smoke. I didn't even see him, and we were going to pay. It was very strategic. Like we were just carrying
Okay.
a backpack around with a bunch of our cash in it, and Megan goes out to take the money out to pay, and he's like, oh, she's got to pay for it. She's got to pay for it. You fucking cuck. I was like, whoa. That's a weird thing for somebody asking me for money to
Yeah,
say.
exactly. I
What a
was
weird
like,
circular world that we live in.
yeah.
I was like, my God, dude. So I did not give that any pesos.
Yeah, no shit, man. Here's the thing that I realize in England, and I've been there before, and Denise had been there before, but it's been a while for both of us, is we never converted our money because we never had to.
Yeah.
Because we were in, even when we went to a smaller city called Dorking. We were in London for most of it, but then we went to Peckham for a little bit, and then we were in Dorking for a couple of nights. And Dorking is a small town, but it's still a town. But it was still like, oh, there's just no need. Like,
Right.
we just use our credit cards fucking everywhere.
Yep.
And then, like, a dick, I had to tip in cash for like housekeeping and American money because
Right.
I'm like, well, they can go get it converted, I guess, you know. But it was just one of those things where you,
here's some footwork for you. Thank you for.
yeah. Well, I'd say, better than nothing. But I mean, it's one of those things where it's almost unnecessary. And you talked about the backpack thing. We did not carry bags with us when we went out. When we left the hotel room, we just looked like, and it's easier, obviously, for us to pass in England as people who might live there and aren't
Yeah.
necessarily American. you know, but it's just like we did not get hit up that much by homeless people. Like we had one guy try to run a scam on us right out of the tube when we're coming out of the tube. Nice. And then one other person like ask us for money. And which point we also could very honestly say we don't have any cash on it. Like we right. don't have cash.
Right.
You know? But yeah, it is interesting. We went to one part of London trying to find this Filipino restaurant. And as soon as we get off the train there, there's signs everywhere. And I mean everywhere. There's like high crime area, high crime area. Watch your possession. Like just
what? There's
yeah, signs everywhere. And it was like there was a university there. So I don't know if that
high crime area. That's
but signs. Yeah.
Like you're going yeah. into Gotham City.
Yeah, it was wow. wild. But the thing is, like, I talked to JD and a couple of other people like about this a couple of days later at the wedding reception, and they were just like, "Oh, they're like, it's not like American crime. It's like snatch and grab. Okay. It's like certain parts of London are dodgy, and the fact that you got to watch your shit because someone will just run up and grab it and take off. But there's like the actual violent crime, you know, in America. Yeah. Like, when's the last time you heard of like a non-violent mugging in America? Like, it's just like they feel like they got to. Like, you know, look, I'm going to take your shit. And if I don't beat the fuck out of you or
you
something.
You will. Right.
Yeah.
You might be armed.
Yeah. That's maybe that's why. That's might be armed. Yeah.
I just, so, that's the politest snatch and grab. Like they apologize if they step on your foot. Sorry for knocking you down, dog.
Yeah.
I am taking this though.
And I'm not saying there isn't violent crime in England, but it really was. We went, you know, we were there during Easter Sunday. And as we were walking through London, there was this massive, massive gathering in one of the main central squares. And for a reenactment of the Passion of the Christ, which was crazy. It's like, I don't want to just watch them get their ass beat before we go to breakfast.
I know.
Like,
happy Easter, dog.
Keep stepping. But there was a massive crowd. But it occurred to me, it was like, oh, in America, I would probably be a little bit nervous about a mass shooting. But here it's just like, oh, it's just
right
a bunch of people, you know? Right. So anyway.
Yeah, man.
I said this was a comedy podcast, right? Well, we've changed it, everybody. We're world travelers now. We're going to talk about the highs and lows of all these countries we go to.
Calling this a comedy podcast is the most egregious mislabeling of any. This is a podcast about whatever we feel like talking about, really. That's why true. there's a might in the title. There are no promises here.
Yes, exactly.
We might get around to comedy.
Yes. Should we do a little comedy talk now that we've burned in half an hour? So,
vacation's over, it looks like.
We're catching up. We get back to work, baby.
Back to work.
Speaking of back to work, well, before we do this, you've been back for a couple of days now. I've been back a little bit longer. Have you done any spots to do a mic or anything since you've been back?
No, I'm going to do one tonight.
Okay.
I went to the Sunday show here in Indianapolis. Scott Eason, my homie, was so it didn't. It felt like getting back on like training wheels, getting back on a bike with training wheels, because you're around it. You don't have to go up. You're just like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, this is good. But now I'm like, my palms itching, and I want to get back on stage. So, I've dusted off the notebooks. When I say I didn't write, I took notebooks to Mexico City. I was like, I'm gonna get up and write over coffee, and that did not happen. One time, sir.
Yeah.
One time.
Well, that's good. You were on vacation. You weren't supposed to do that. Yeah. I've been in like a dry spell. I've not really been writing very much. I haven't felt very creative lately. I've been just relying on the hits and the misses that I still do. I do still do some of those misses too, because you know what? Sometimes you got to just fill that time contractually. But I went up to the open mic on Thursday and, I just riffed. Like I made myself go because I've got headlining stuff coming up. And I didn't, you know, I've been off for a couple of weeks at this point. And so I went up and I just riffed on the eclipse, and I had a couple jokes or whatever. And I talked about, you know, being dead inside and all that kind of stuff. And I had a couple other jokes that I riffed about it. And then I just kind of did a couple other things and got out. And it felt really good to just kind of go, no agenda. Like I didn't take my camera. I wasn't taping.
What?
Yeah, and that was on purpose, because I knew going, making myself go to just get up on stage and get loose. Mm-hmm. I kind of knew, I was like, I don't want to run my old stuff at this open mic. I want to do something different, you know. Mm-hmm. And it worked. It mostly worked, you know. Like I got laughs. It was good. You know, it was all good. And I also, you know, asked to go first, and then I came home. It was great.
That sounds amazing.
Went up first. Came home and watched Fallout. Came home and watched Fallout. It was good, baby. You know.
Oh yeah. Man, I can't wait to get started on it.
It's. I was gonna say it's very. It's as my. You know, it's my favorite video game property of all time.
Yeah.
And having finished the entire season is very, very good. There's a couple stuff early on that I was like, I don't know if I'm loving this, but it. I don't even say it course corrects. It just won me over. I think their sensibilities and what they're doing with it is pretty great.
It's like a Dwight Simmons set. Starts out, you're like, what? And then eventually you're like, okay, I'm done fighting.
Yes, exactly. I'm glad you said it and not me.
I had an album come out the day I was flying home from Mexico.
You did? That's true.
Not stressful at all. I was very bad about promoting because I was on vacation. It went to number two, and I was irrationally upset because it did not get to number one. And I have a beautiful and wonderful wife that talked me down. You've had albums come out. Did you do the thing where you stay up until like 1 a.m. until the charts reset?
I think I did that one time. And here's the thing is like, I understand that you are not happy because you only hit number two, whereas in your other ones went number one. I've never had any of my albums hit number one.
Yeah.
They've all gotten in the top 10, top five, maybe like three or two or something like that. But I'm just not as beloved as you are in the comedy community. And let's face it. Like that's the only person who's buying comedy albums anymore, or other comics that are just supporting you.
100%.
You know, maybe a couple of family members. Everybody else is like, oh, it's on Spotify, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll just listen to it there. Yeah.
That's so, it's like I've had like Bandcamp sales, and like the special was out damn near 8 months ago. So it's not like original material. I understand. It's just an irrational thing that I have. Like I can't turn it off. It's the competitiveness of wanting that credit, I guess. It did feel bad at the time. I've had time to fly. I've been in the sky. I landed. I got home safely and really reflect. And I'm very grateful for everyone that shared and listened to the album. I had several people reach out and say nice things about specific jokes, which is nice when people are like, oh, I like this joke specifically. So I'll stop being a little brat about it. And the entire goal with this thing since last year was to start working on new shit. And this is just another push to do that. If not with a sense of urgency, just take that fired up passion. We gotta be like Michael Jordan in The Last Dance and just find ways to feel slighted, to work harder. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like you gotta be. When he lost to the Detroit Pistons and then he came back the next season and he had like 20 extra pounds of muscle. He's like, y'all ain't gonna beat the shit out of me this season.
Yeah.
I don't know how much longer I can maintain that mindset, but.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you said that because, you know, like, how old are you, Dwight? Are you
37.
Late 30s? 37, yeah. So, I mean, I'm 13 years older than you. And I don't have that fire anymore. This is just me being very real. Like you, I think it's great you have the competitiveness, that kind of drive and everything. But I don't have it. I don't have that thing of like, oh, I'll get him next time.
Yeah.
Like my thing is kind of like, I had a good run. You know,
I had a good run.
I mean, it really does feel like that. And I'm not trying to be overly negative because every time I say anything slightly pessimistic on the podcast, we get like fucking mental health wellness checks on me. But I mean, it's the reality of it. It's like the thing is just like I submitted again for The Tonight Show and I submitted again for Dry Bar. I did not get either one of those things. Shout out to Michael from The Tonight Show for at least responding to my email, as we talked about in the previous thing. Like he doesn't have to do that. Dry Bar, I didn't even, second time I submitted something to them. The first time was a couple years ago. Both times they not even bothered to email me back. Like, hey, thanks for taking time none of that and stuff. And, you know, both of those things, I don't know if it would say they took the wind out of my sails as much as they just kind of feel like, okay, all right, that's what it is. Like, this is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
And I'll just be a working Midwest comic. I'm not going to get one of those things that pops me to another level. And again, mm-hmm. it's not like it's not ever going to happen, but it's also, I think I'm just at a point where, like I said, I don't have that drive anymore to make it happen by force of will.
Right.
Or just to push through. I'm just kind of like, all right, I get it.
like, this is what it is.
This is what this it
what
is.
It's going to be.
And yeah.
If something happens, it happens.
Yeah. Now, when I, you know, when I start taking these low T treatments, that's going to go away. Then I'm going to be like, be on the Tonight Show. I'm going to fucking host the Tonight Show. I'm going to be the new host of the Tonight Show. No.
You haven't been listening to enough of this recent battle rap that's going on. Everybody's dissing everybody. I'm just fired up. I was like, I'm too old for that. Like, I like all these people. I don't know. Why are we, don't make me choose sides.
I know. And also there's never going to be a battle rap as good as Common versus Drake. Like the most ridiculous. When that happened,
when I showed you that,
battle rapping was over. Battle rapping's over.
Yes.
Like, it's like, okay. Yeah.
When you pissed off Common.
But it's also, it's just like, oh, geez.
Like, yeah, I know.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's kind of like, you know, who wants to see two cardigans have a fight, you know? Anyway, I don't know. Maybe I will have something that lights that fire back in me, but you're still young and driven, and I think that's good. And you know, I think it's good that you are also, you know, having that passionate, like, man, this is bullshit. And then being able to balance it back out again with gratitude.
Yeah, I mean, that's just pure honesty. Like, it's just like it's irrational because it does not matter. It doesn't move the needle toward any of the things that I'm going after. Like if it was my first one and it like really meant something, mm-hmm. Maybe I would not have been able to come back as easily, like come back from the darkness.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I didn't even know this was something that I cared about. And I was like, you know, I'm putting out an album. I hope people listen to it. And then I'm following the fucking charts. I'm refreshing like a psychopath. Yeah, that's, I don't know. I don't know, but I am fired up. I don't feel young. I don't feel young. I don't, I do feel energetic and I do feel strong as a comic right now. Mm. And that's something that's oftentimes fleeting. That's not something that's like always there. So I'm going to try to take advantage of that energy that I have right now.
Yeah.
For however long. Should.
Well, I think that's, I mean, I think a lot of things in comedy, you know, are that sort of ebb and flow, ups and downs, you know, in life too. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be comedy. It's a lot of people's careers. You know, I think a lot of parallels about like actors who, you know, are hot for a while and then they just don't get work forever. You know, I was seeing a thing with like Josh Brolin and talking about, like, you know, he was like in dire money troubles, you know, and mm-hmm. then luckily got that Coen Brothers film and then it changed the course of his life, you know. And so, you know, there are those fallow periods and everything. And so the fact that you're feeling strong and on top of it and can capitalize with it, you know, as far as being a strong comedian, I think, you got to go for it right now. And it's a beautiful feeling and it's a beautiful thing that you can step back and also recognize that this is a right now thing. It may not, you know. You may go back and forth. So,
yeah, I don't have to drop a Tupac hit 'em up.
Yes.
On anybody.
Yeah.
No, so I'm going to the mic tonight. I just want to dust off the cobwebs and I might as well plug the show I have coming up on Friday at Commonwealth Sanctuary. Talked about a lot on this show. I am opening up for Casey Shornima, who I have not met, but is doing Limestone as well. So I'm excited for that. It was kind of a last minute fill in, but we've got two shows there. It's up at DwightSimmons.com and also going to plug Middle Ground Comedy Festival happening in Indianapolis next week. I will be doing a podcast that's focused on books. Wouldn't you know it? That's Saturday afternoon at 4, I believe. So that's at Black Circle, but that'll be up on my website eventually. I'm catching up. So check those things out. DwightSimmons.com.
Nice. This weekend, I will be at the Comedy Catch in Chattanooga, Tennessee. My first time there. Like headlining it, which is nice.
My God. Take it to Tennessee. My man got choked up. Just first time headlining in Chattanooga.
Yeah, so that's the 19th to 20th. Ticket links are up on my website, madelonamartincomedy.com. Just Google it because it's weird. And then the following weekend, I am featuring at the Comedy Attic for Sam Talent. We'll see if that holds. I'm still waiting for that to get the message from Jared, like, oh, I just found out Sam's bringing his own feature, which has been happening a lot to me lately when I'm just trying to get like some at home money, you know, like I don't have to travel, go pick up a little feature pay. So we'll see. Yeah, but it'd be nice. I'm friends with Sam. It'd be good to see him. You know, we have very different acts, so I think it'll be, you know, we work together good. I've opened for him. Wait, did I open for him? No, I did his show. He has a monthly show at the Comedy Fort that I was the headliner closer, but he hosts and basically is the real headliner because he's Sam Talent.
Right. is that Thursday through Saturday?
No, I believe it's just Saturday, Sunday, the 26th and 27th, I believe.
Okay. Okay. 27th, 28th. Saturday, Sunday.
Friday, Saturday.
Friday,
At the Comedy Attic. Friday, Saturday. Yeah.
Yes.
You got plans? You got something going on?
No, I was going to, if it was Sunday, I was going to come.
No. It's just Friday, Saturday.
Okay.
And then, of course, you've already mentioned it, but yeah, Limestone Comedy Festival is coming up, everybody. Dwight and I both have been working a lot on that lately, all the behind the scenes stuff. Tickets, you know, badges on sale. They're going well.
Yeah.
No complaints so far. We're like about 5 weeks out and everything's looking good. So
we'll take that, baby. I mean, you know what? Last year, this time we had already gotten like several hate mails from hate mails. Hate emails, hate messages for comics that did not get into the festival.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for everyone for your restraint this year. I know it's very difficult to apply to something, wait for a long time, and then ultimately get a rejection letter. We talk about it a lot. It's happened to every comic, like, it sucks. So
I mean, yeah, it happened in the same time, I think the same week that we were sending, you know, unfortunately I had to send out, I'm sorry, we were not selected emails. I got one of those from Red Clay. I had submitted to Red Clay, didn't get it this year, and that's cool, you know, or whatever. It sucks, but it's all part of it, you know. And what I do like is there are a couple of people that both this year and last year that were taken into the fields that had submitted a couple years in a row. And that shit does matter. Like if we see someone tracking and tracking and tracking and they just, you know, I'm not saying it's eventually their turn, but in a way it's eventually their turn, you know, like if they're continuing to stay strong and we haven't been able to squeeze them. That's the thing people don't understand is they think they're just getting rejected. And a lot of times that is true. There are a lot of terrible comedians, but some of the times, and you can tell yourself that you're one of these cases if it makes you feel better out there. Some of the times it's a completely good comic who we would totally take. We just don't have enough spots.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we only have 38 spots and like that shit is like so quick to fill up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not necessarily that we wouldn't take you. We would, you know, but if we had 200 comics in the festival, it would be a shitty festival.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not fun for anybody.
Yeah.
4 weeks long. This is the worst rejection I ever got was it was like two sentences. And it's like, hey, you weren't selected this year. Next year, just try to get better. Thanks. And it's like, that's not cool. That's not even like, don't tell me that's not helpful.
Yeah.
When you're like, hey, just try to get better. You're like, in what way? How?
Yeah. That's an excellent question. What's a good follow-up question? Sorry, just saying something real quick. Yeah, man. Okay. Should we talk about the thing I was going to talk about before? The wild. All right. It's been a minute.
This is breaking news to me, and I am fired up about it.
Comedy. I don't know what you would call it. This isn't gossip. This is comedy wildness. This is comedy wildness. Like, cannot believe that this is happening. And really, we should offer this as a service, too. You know, I'm sure we have some very new comics that listen to this podcast, hopefully, and they're getting something good out of it. You know, some good tips and tricks as we go along. And this is a big one, which is you consider the source. As always, consider the source.
Love it.
There is someone in the Midwest who is offering comedy services. And it's everything from...
Is that an exact quote? Can we talk about comedy services?
Comedy services?
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing, but that's okay. essentially what they're offering. They're offering management. They're offering basically a comedy management / booking tool. Like it makes it sound like it's an app or a website or something like that, right? But all the things that they are promising is, and that they provide, is booking management, content creation, social media management, workshops and networking events, and access to an incredible network of stand-up comedians. I'm assuming the other users of this app, right? So is the idea. And so the things that they offer that it can do, it can organize your schedule. It can collect data on your comedy career.
Collect data?
Yeah. And then data analysis. They also have, the big thing that they keep coming back to is they're offering booking management. They keep saying they're offering booking management, right? And so... this service, though, that they are offering, it costs $200 a month.
Okay. Nope.
Yep. Costs $200 a month for this app that basically sounds like an Excel spreadsheet that you keep track of your stuff.
Yeah.
With maybe some other things going on to it. And, you know, they've got a very professional looking little comedy flyer thing, not flyer, but like a little, it looks like something you would get as a promoted ad in your Instagram feed or whatever. You know, we're highlighting this one, but there are a lot of these types of things of people who want to make money on you as a comic because you are trying to advance your career and they are offering to help you do that. And it's questionable whether or not the thing that they're offering is actually going to help. Yep. And so in considering the source, this started popping up enough that I was like, huh, that's interesting. And I started to look into it. The person who has created this app or who's offering all these incredible resources is someone who's been doing stand-up comedy for less than a year. Now, we all know there's an adage in stand-up comedy that it takes, 10 years?
Yeah, to learn how to stand on stage.
Takes 10 years to learn how to really do stand-up comedy, and it takes 20 to get good at it, right? Mm-hmm. And so, whenever you see these types of ads, young comics and these things, especially when there's a giant price tag attached to it, you should do a little digging, do a little research.
Definitely.
Find out who's behind it. Find out who's offering the service. Do they have any experience in doing any of the things that they're saying that they can give to you?
100%.
I mean, this podcast may or may not be horseshit advice, but it's free. It's free. We're not taking your money.
We will happily take your money to listen to us talk about our vacations. Recap. This is hilarious. Like, people shit on comedy classes because they are they're promoted to, like, so hyperbolically to be like, take this class, it'll change your life. You'll be the next Steve Martin if you just follow these four steps. And this is promising something even harder than how to write a joke, which is we're going to book your calendar. We're going to run your social media. We're going to do all that thing, all those things as your, what's it called? Content manager.
Yeah. That's the thing is, I think when you actually get into it, I don't think it's, so it is an app. The more I'm clicking on it is an app, but I think they're asking you to pay $200 a month to have an app that's essentially an organizer,
a calendar
that already, a calendar that comes on your fucking phone already.
Yeah.
Or on your computer, because I think the phrase booking management, I think it means that it'll help you manage your own bookings.
Ah, you got to read the fine print.
But again, to most comics who hear that, they're like, oh, it'll get me shows, right? Or they're going to manage my career.
They're going to cover your entry fee to the World Series of Comedy. You have to get there. You got to travel to Oklahoma City on your own. But
yeah, I will say that this is the most honest part of their little pitch here. This is the last one. This is the last thing that's listed in their little bullets. Possibly get new bookings! !
Possibly,
possibly, and it's also the only bullet point that has any punctuation. And they went with an exclamation point.
That's incredible. This is incredible foresight from this person who's only a year in.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, this is hard. Telling jokes on stage is hard. But scamming comedians don't sound too hard. Let's just set up a whole LLC, create an app. Like, so many people, I think it was last year, got scammed, so many comedians, from an Instagram message. It's like, hey, I'll pay you $250 if you come tell a joke virtually for my daughter's birthday.
Yeah.
Send me $300 first, and then I'll send you the money back. It was nuts. So many people fell for it.
Yeah, Jesus, like, but yeah, so this is, I would file this under suspicious at best.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm trying to think, there's also, you know, like the thing with the comedy class is that people, you know, like to bag on it or whatever. And you and I both teach comedy classes. And I think the cost of both of our classes is very reasonable. There are comedy classes that are very expensive, you know? And I think, I don't know about you, but I'm always kind of conflicted about whether or not to teach. Like, it is one of these things where it's like,
right.
And I just, the way that I've designed the class has been to just be more like, it's, and it's from experience of doing it, it's like, okay, most of these people, it's a bucket list thing. They'll do it the one time. Mm-hmm. They're more than happy to pay the, you know, and I think my class is like $120 or some shit. It's real cheap. Right. And so, and I honestly don't know how much a class is because it's done through a third party. I do it through an organization, right? Mm-hmm. I just show up. And so, yeah, man, it's just like, that's, I'm still kind of like, you know, sometimes, I mean, about it, you know?
Yeah, like, people need to be clear that we're not promising the moon. Yeah. This is structure to help you get on stage for the first time. Or, like, skills to help you get out of that open mic rut. That's all it is. That's all it can be. Because the experience of getting on stage, bombing, going back, rewriting a joke, that's all you, baby.
Yeah.
That's all you.
Yeah. And, you know, so anyway, this has been making the rounds enough that I did want to bring it up. And just as a warning to anybody else, I want to say there was another similar thing like this. It was also like an app that someone was pushing a couple of years ago for comedians. Yeah. And it was basically essentially like a database of clubs and bookers or whatever. But A, that shit changes all the time. B, you can get that on your own just by Googling.
Yeah.
And totally. at least a couple of years ago, they weren't charging $200 a month. I forget what it was, but it was pretty, it was something like $50 or something. It's like,
it was just contactless. Yeah.
Yeah. Essentially. Yeah.
Dude, if like everybody has access to that, they're going to change their email the next day.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Like, I see this shit happen all the time.
Yeah.
I had one. There was a clip I saw while I was sitting at the airport of Donnell Rawlings defending joke theft. He says, if you're in a club and the joke hasn't been done on television yet, it's basically for the town square. It's for everybody.
What?
To use. Yes. Yeah. Yes. He said this in an interview, and I was like, I'm trying to hold my phone, not throw it through security. It's just nuts to have that audacious mindset and then to say it out loud on an interview, during an interview. Like, the interviewer was asking him, what are your thoughts about joke theft? It's like, well, if it ain't been done on TV, it's like, that's fucking crazy, dude. That's nuts. I watched his special like a couple weeks before. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. He's still doing the social media sensation, the greens, beans, hams, tomatoes, hogs, dogs, chicken, turkey lady. Uh-huh. That's what he opens his special with. I was like, what year is it, dude? Taking viral clips from 2019.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is like, it points back to be careful who you take advice from. Bet the source. Don't do this. Do not listen to Donnell Rawlings.
Don't listen to Ashy Larry.
Don't listen to Ashy Larry. People are like, who the hell is Donnell Rawlings? Oh yeah, Ashy Larry, who I think is, like, I've seen him live. I've opened for him. He's a funny guy. But
do you wonder how many of your jokes he's stolen since you were just up there in the town square?
I don't think he wants to talk about black atheism. I don't think it's his style. Mm. I don't think it's his style, Matt. But yeah, probably, dude. That's scary. That's scary if like people are out here operating with that mindset. The whole point of this is like, at least for me, it's fun to write jokes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's that masochistic mindset of, will the joke work? No, let's go try it again.
Yeah, I think that's pretty crazy. And like, so I'm trying to think, the most famous, obviously, joke thief is Carlos Mencia. That's been documented. And, you know, one of the rare times that Joe Rogan was on the right side of something. So now we got a black Carlos Mencia.
And
we have a white Carlos Mencia, which is Carlos Mencia. Thank you. What? Bam. All right. People have to go deep in their knowledge to find out that he was. He is mostly white, and his name is not Carlos Mencia. It's like Dwight Schrute or something like that. I mean,
that's hilarious.
He's got like the whitest of white names.
That's hilarious.
But anyway, all right, man. That's a little hot goss, a little comedy gossip. Things happening in the comedy world. I can't really think of anything else right now that we need to talk about. Like anything else bubbling in the comedy scene. No,
we didn't have any recaps. We're not doing a question.
No question.
Usually answer questions on this podcast.
Yeah, we are all out of questions. So if you do not want to hear about our vacations anymore, then send us a damn question or two at mattanddwight@gmail.com. That is mattanddwight@gmail.com. Anything that you want to talk about comedy-wise, we'll give you our 2 cents on it. And big shout out to everybody who has sent in questions over the past year and a quarter or so that we've been doing this. Like how long have we been doing this? About 60 episodes or so now?
Yeah, there were somewhere around there.
Yeah. So shout out to all the regular listeners, rate, review, all that kind of good stuff. You got a new joke for tonight, or are you just doing the old stuff?
I've got a joke that I've done twice that I've got to talk through. So then I will be trying to get a 7-minute clip to submit to Late Night. I talked about that a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
And we'll see. We'll see. But
You're like, as we've already covered, you're young, you're hungry, you got the passion. The only coming in at number two is going to drive you to then get this late night spot. I'm predicting it right now.
Okay, I'll take that. I'll take that because I'm hungry. Yeah. Out here like J. Cole and Kendrick.
That late night spot will be on Gutfield.
Oh my God. Yeah. That seems like this would be the easiest path.
Yeah.
Fox News, here I come.
Now, we couldn't help but notice that you're black, but do you have anything positive you could say about Trump? Do you got any pro-Trump jokes? Owens' star has faded. So we're looking for like a more masculine Candace Owens, which I know is going to be hard, but like a more...
Got her. Dumbass.
Zing, zang, zing. All right. As always, we should have ended the podcast 3 minutes ago.
I'm good.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Goodbye.